It's great to be here, and I don't know if anybody realizes this, but 7 years straight, we've always come to President's Day weekend. So, and sometimes that falls on Valentine's Day, and sometimes it doesn't, but this has been 7 years that we've been coming here, and obviously, I've now become a pastor, and we've had a church running for almost 5 years now. And before I get through preaching here, I just wanted to give you an update on our church. We're still running about 100 people, even though all the COVID stuff's happened. And I know last year, soul winning was kind of tough on a lot of churches, but we still had about 500 people saved or something like that. So, and the church in Hawaii that we planted had about 450-something or 460 salvations. And Hawaii, if you don't know, has been the most locked-down place that there is. But we've started 5 churches now since we became a church. And today we actually launched a church in the United Kingdom. And so it was very successful this morning. They had 48 people in the first service and 49 people in the second service. And so and it's kind of cool to listen to those guys preach in their British accent. So, the guy that's leading that church plant, his name is Ian Taverner. And they had a surprise visit from the COVID police right in the middle of his sermon. So, of course, any church that we kind of try to start, it seems like there's always some sort of adversity. But they left him alone. He got to finish his sermon. It was pretty cool to watch. So, but pray for that church plant of ours. And, of course, Spokane's going strong. We're running about 40 people there, about 20 in Hawaii. And British Columbia, we still have about 25 people going to church there. They're totally locked down. It's just been a weird year and a couple months, hasn't it? But God's still moving forward with his plans, and we're still going to move forward with our plans for the kingdom of heaven. So anyway, I'd just like to thank Pastor Jimenez and Miss Joanne and all the hospitality of Verity Baptist Church. Appreciate you guys having us here, and it's we love this church, and it'll always be a dear part of our hearts. Before I get going also, I just want to say we have 2 missions trips this year, and I don't know if anybody wants to come alongside us on this. And we have our 2-year anniversary in Hawaii, and that's going to be the first week of June. So I'm going to put a video about it here pretty soon, but you probably have to pass a COVID test or something before you go there. So if you're not willing to do that, then you might not want to go. So, and then Yakima, Washington is a place we went to last year in September. It's the Yakima Indian Nation, and we had a group go there for 5 days, and we had 115 salvations. And so it was a great trip, but you know, we can't go to a lot of countries in the world right now, but we can still go to our own, to the United States. I mean, kind of. But there's always adversity. I mean, there was people harassing me about going there and all this other stuff. But anyway, you know, this Pastor Manis took a chance on our church. And, you know, when I see people needing a church, like, you know, don't start emailing me right now because I got my cup runneth over. But just wait for a while. I need some pastors to fill these pulpits. So anyway, the title of my sermon tonight is Imprecatory Prayers, Psalms, and Preaching. Imprecatory Prayers, Psalms, and Preaching. Before I get to the text that Brother Oliver read, I wanted to read a couple verses to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So God is a God that doesn't change. It's called the immutability of God. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So the reason why I'm saying that is because people say in the New Testament, well, you're not supposed to pray things, curses upon people and things like that. But that's what imprecatory prayers are. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same throughout the whole Bible. So what I want to show you tonight is that not only do Christians and saved people and a man after God's own heart named King David, he actually wrote 23 imprecatory psalms, and that's just his prayers against other people. That doesn't include all the preaching against wickedness in the psalms, and that's just the psalms. But then you also have the Old Testament, which is, you know, people say, well, God's not an old, you know, the Old Testament's the Old Testament. God's not like that anymore. Yeah, he is. And so we have to understand this concept because people act like we just made this doctrine up. Like that there are people that we do have to hate. There are people that God does hate. And I know people just get upset about this kind of preaching, but look, we didn't make the doctrine up. It's in the Bible. And so if you love Pastor, this is the fifth point to Pastor's sermon, is that, if you love your church, you should love the Bible.
Amen.
So we should love the Bible and everything in it, and there are some hard things in it. Some of the things in the Bible are like, oh man, that's rough. But I guarantee you, anything that God writes in here is harder than anything I've ever preached. It's harder than everything that Pastor Jimenez has ever preached. We get what we preach from the Bible. So it shouldn't upset people. But so if you don't know what imprecatory means, it means to invoke or call down evil or curses, all right? And you're like, Pastor Thompson, this is supposed to be Love Your Church Sunday. Well, hey, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Right? So we need to know the truth. And obviously, some people know this doctrine, but maybe you've never, maybe that's something that you teeter on. Maybe you're just like, I don't know. When you say that you're supposed to hate some people, that just makes me cringe, Pastor Thompson. Well, I'll tell you what, let the Bible guide what you believe. Don't let what I'm saying, look at the scriptures, and we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, and put some toothpicks in your eyelids, stay up. I came here to preach. I didn't come here to tickle your ears. And I got a lot of scriptures to go through. So anyway, but imprecatory means to invoke or call down evil or curses upon a person. Now, when I looked for the definition in Google, of course, I Googled it, right? I found in dictionary.com, it was really funny I found this. So it says repeatedly called for, as like an example, it says repeatedly called for the death of President Obama via imprecatory prayer. Gee, I wonder where they got that one. I don't know if Pastor Anderson's face is like next to that in dictionary.com, but I think he's the one that prayed. It's funny that that's the example, isn't it? So he did pray for the death of Barack Obama and used some scripture to back that up. So, but there is much imprecatory prayer in the Bible. There's also imprecatory preaching, like hard preaching against things and against people and against places and countries. And it's found in the Psalms, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. God doesn't change. He's not going to change from Genesis to Revelation. God has imprecatory preaching and prayers. I mean, what happens in Revelation? Things are falling from the sky. Talent size, hail is falling on top of people. People are blaspheming God's name. He's pouring out fire and brimstone on people. That's in the New Testament, people. It's not in the Old Testament. So God has not changed. So I'm just going to read for you 2 Peter. Go ahead. If you're in Psalm chapter 5, just park there for a second. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. This is an important verse. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So this is not my private interpretation that I'm preaching to you today. This is straight from the Bible. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every word written in this book was written by the Holy Ghost. And men spoke it under the inspiration of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it's all profitable for us for doctrine and reproof and all that stuff. It's important that we understand that the Psalms are part of the Bible too.
Amen.
The Psalms are God's songbook. And some of these songs are we haven't put a lot of these to words, but we're working on it. I know that people are working on it. But some of these were like, they'd sound funny to sing in the congregation. I remember we sang Psalm 139 in our congregation. I was preaching about some hate thing. We hate somebody. But anyway, it was an experiment on my part because I wanted to see if people would sing out that psalm. It seemed like people were kind of hesitant and shaky about it. Because here's the thing, the world wants to tell us what we should believe. And sometimes we let the world browbeat us into what we believe. And look, I'm not saying that we should hate everything all the time and our Christian life should be about hate. But there should be some of it. And look, this church loves people. They send soul winners out, 87 soul winners out last week. Our church sends out soul winners because we love people. It's not because we hate people and want to destroy people. Jesus didn't come to destroy, he came to save. However, there are people that the Bible does say to hate. There are these wicked people that try to creep into churches. They creep in unawares. And there's also people that stalk us and try to destroy the work of God. And it's really weird. I've never been, like, before I kind of joined myself to churches like these, I never had these kind of things happen in church. I've never seen these kind of weirdos and these kind of freaks trying and doing anything they can to stop the work of God. Lying about men of God, just flat out lying lies. And trying to destroy people's families, talking crap about people's families. And like, even politicians don't do that, for the most part. I mean, but these people are snakes, they're wicked, they're evil, they're not savable. They're trash, like Pastor Anderson would have said in his sermon a couple years ago. But so look, this is scripture, and we have to understand that. Psalm chapter 5, look at verse 1. This is considered the first imprecatory psalm, okay? And that's why I picked it, because it's kind of a pattern of how we should pray if we're going to be in this type of a situation where we need to pray against somebody that's trying to hurt us or hurt our lives or hurt our pastor or whatever it is. And you know that this person's a bad person that can't be helped, right? And we don't always know, but I'll get to that later. Look at verse number 1 in Psalm chapter 5. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." So this is God, this is David, King David, praying, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to pray to you, Lord, and here's what I'm going to pray. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and look up." So far, so good. It's all hearts and roses, right? Hey, we should be praying to God. And, you know, it says in the morning, doesn't it? You know, don't wait till the evening to pray to God. Pray to him in the morning. "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." So that term, workers of iniquity, that's not just the run-of-the-mill sinner. This is a person that hates God. This is a person that hates the work of God, and they'll do anything they can to try to destroy it. Now, it's hard for us to understand how people could be like this, how people could be against Christianity, how people could pretend that they are Christians and then attack the work of God that's going on. How they could say, hey, you're preaching a false gospel. You're preaching that you don't have to repent of your sins. Those people that fight against us like that, those people are workers of iniquity. They're false prophets, and some of them are just people that, you know, look, if we're a true church, which I believe this church is a true church, preach the right gospel, and Pastor Jimenez preaches the whole counsel of God, he doesn't hold anything back.
Amen.
Notice in the book of Acts, what were people doing to the disciples in the book of Acts? They're always trying to stop them from preaching. Don't preach in this name. And what did they do to Paul? Followed him everywhere he went. Right? They were stalkers. He had stalkers that were following him around, these Jews that were trying to stop the work of God. And that's what you see in any good Bible-believing church, is the devil is going to throw his people, his children, our way. And sometimes we fail to recognize that, because there's wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like us, they dress like us, they talk like us, but then the fangs come out later. The ear sticks out later. The tail, kind of, you catch the tail. They start saying weird stuff. Oh, the flat earth. They start saying, you know, well, I do think you have to, you know, you do have to have the works. And, you know, they start saying weird stuff. Or they start trying to bring you over to a corner, you know. But that, it's not just people that creep into churches. There's people on the outside that want to destroy what we're doing. Let me tell you something. When we started that church, today, it was at 2:30 in the morning for our time, the COVID police, someone was watching on YouTube just waiting to see someone without a mask, and they turned them in because he wasn't wearing a mask. Right during the middle of Brother Ian's preaching, the COVID police showed up at the front door and interrupted the preaching. So like all of a sudden, like, you know, he leaves the pulpit and then comes back like 5 minutes later and just preaches the rest of his sermon. But they let him go on. But this is the type of evil people that want to shut us down. I mean, there was already articles written in newspapers about them last week. People were harassing them about going door-to-door soul winning and saying that they were, you know, super spreaders or whatever. You know, these people hate us and want to shut us down. And guess what? They're not going to the Pentecostal church. They're not going to the Church of Christ. They're not going to the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not going to the Mormons. I mean, they're part of that. But what I'm saying is that The devil has got a target on the back of this church. The devil's got a target on the back of my church. The devil's got a target on the back of churches of friends that I associate with. Why? Because we're doing the work of God, and they can't stand it. The devil hates it, and so he's going to take his children, and he's going to put all of his forces against us. And yeah, there's calms from the storm sometimes. But, you know, because God is gracious, amen? You know, he's going to keep them away, or he's going to let them be exposed, and they get kicked out, and there's, you know, these, you guys have been through it. And we've been through it, and lots of churches have been through it. So don't be surprised when this kind of stuff happens. It's going to happen. You know, we're like, oh, I can't believe that person. That person's got to be saved. No, they're not. You know, I'm not saying every person that leaves the church is unsaved. I'm not saying that. But you know the ones that I'm talking about, right? The ones that just cause all kinds of chaos. And not only do they go after pastors, but they go after people in the church too. And they want to drag those people away like the Amalekites, you know, came and tried to get the weakest of the children of Israel from behind. That's what they want to do here. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you're just new to all this and you don't know anything about this. But look, that's why I'm preaching this sermon to you, because I do love you. I do care. And I want you to understand this doctrine, okay? So it says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Look at here. Look at people. Hate is not a bad word, okay? Amen. I know Yoda says it is. I know that the world says it is. The news tells you that. Quit watching the news, because they're telling you that hate is a bad word. Look, hate is a word in the Bible. And it says, thou hatest. Who's he talking about? God. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. God hates them. Do you see that? Look at your Bible. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Does he like them? No. Does he? So he uses that word abhor. Abhor is a synonym for hate. It's just they're trying not to be repetitive here. But God hates bloody and deceitful men. Leasing is an act of lying, lies, or falsehood. But what are these people trying to do? They're trying to destroy David. They're trying to destroy the work of God. Abhor means to detest or hate. Now skip down to verse 9. It says, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's like going to a graveyard and having to smell those graves. That's what their throat is like. They just breathe out all kinds of disgusting things. They flatter with the tongue. Destroy them, O God. That's David, a man after God's own heart, saying, destroy them. Does he say pray for them? Oh, we just got to love them. No, destroy them, O God. Destroy them. Amen. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So after he says destroy them, he's like, we're going to jump for joy. You know, people are like, you know, Rabbi Zacharias, you know, it just came out today. You know, I preached a sermon against him and I have all these people just mad at me about it, right? But he was a false prophet. He didn't even preach the Bible. He was just some apologetic joke. And what ends up happening? I preach against them, people get on me. Then I do an addendum and just put more stuff on what he did because I didn't have time to finish the sermon. He was an adulterer. He got caught in this big scandal where he had to pay off these people. And, you know, he lied about all his education. You know, his whole ministry was built on lies. He never went to Cambridge. He never graduated from Cambridge. He was never a professor. He lied about everything. And people are like, you need to forgive him, brother. It's like, shut up. That guy never sent anybody to heaven. He sent everybody and made them twofold more the child of hell than he was himself. And then it comes out today that he raped a woman. He owned all these massage parlors where he was pawing at all the women and molesting all these women. Yeah, false prophets have the same modus operandi of all the time. It's money, and they want some kind of, you know, they're just whoremongers and whores and all this other stuff, right? So it's not a big surprise to me. So now I'm not going to make another addendum. This is my addendum part 3, I guess. But look, he was a wicked person. You should pray for his family. Well, you know, I feel bad for his family. I feel bad for anybody in that ministry, but look, it's a parachurch organization. What do they build it on? Sinking sand. And so it came out today finally that he, you know, was everything that I thought he was. So case closed.
Amen.
But where was I at? What verse is I at? Oh, that we'll shout for joy. Okay, look at, it says, for verse 12, verse 11 says, because thou defendest them. See, God is the one that defends us. We don't have to go out and fight battles. I'm not saying that we go out and try to hurt people. Nobody's ever preached anything like that. We wouldn't go and try to hurt somebody physically. This is a spiritual battle we're in. Where do I fight? I fight from the pulpit. Where do I fight? I fight with God's word, the sword of the Lord. And what do? I use prayer, my connection with God, to fight my battles for me. And it says in verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You don't have to worry about anything. These people are going to be destroyed. But you know what? You should pray for them. Pray for them to die and go to hell. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not talking about just a run-of-the-mill sinner. I'm talking about people like this. Was David wrong in preaching this? Didn't I just read you the verses where it says that all scripture is by inspiration, or not that one, but the one in Peter where it says that, let me read it real quick. Yeah, that holy, it didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. David was moved by the Holy Ghost to preach that, to say that, to pray that prayer in Psalm chapter 5. And that's our example. Pray that if someone's bothering you, if someone's trying to mess with your pastor or mess with your church, start praying for them. Just have a separate part of your prayer sheet that deals with those people. There's nothing wrong with that. People act like, you know, we're telling you, oh, we're these evil people. Look, the Bible teaches it. Does it not? It teaches it. So I love this church, and it's Love Your Church Sunday. I'm trying to just tell you the truth because I love you. So anyway, there's differences between. Now, this is where people say, well, you know, Jesus is different now. He says something different. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. So people will throw Matthew chapter 5 at us and say, you know, you're wrong. Jesus doesn't think that way anymore. That's not true. But here's the thing. I'm not talking about our enemies, our personal enemies that we pray against. You might pray against them for maybe they would get revealed or something like that, but you know, if someone's able to be saved, I wouldn't pray for them to die and go to hell. I mean, that I think would be wrong. But sometimes we just don't know. So then you think, so here's a way to pray for those people. Just say, well, Lord, I'm not sure if this person's a reprobate or what, but if they're not, save them. If they are reprobate, kill them. That's what Pastor said like last week, right? And that's the truth, you know? That's how we should deal with it. So, but this is where the people try to say, they try to stump you right here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Look at what it says. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love, notice what it says, your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is not God's enemy necessarily. This is your personal enemies. The people that just don't like you at work because you do everything right. Or there, you know, there's people that just don't like you. You know, there's some people in here that nobody likes them. I'm just kidding. But it's probably me. But look, there's a difference between hating God's enemies and hating your own enemies. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But look, was David a man after God's own heart or not? Yes, he was. Now, do you see him loving his enemies in the scriptures? Yes, you do. Saul was a saved man and was trying to kill him. It was his personal enemy that hated him. But what did David do? He did good unto him. He cut his robe, just a piece off of his robe, and felt bad about it. So, but then he's praying these imprecatory prayers. These aren't towards Saul. God took care of Saul. Saul messed his own life up. And this is not towards Saul. But David did have reprobates that were amongst him. Even he didn't even know about it. It talks about these certain sons of Belial when they had to go get their wives and their stuff back from the Amalekites. And certain sons of Belial were trying to challenge him. And that's the that's not him saying that. That's just the Bible saying that. So he didn't even know. Sometimes you just don't know. So anyway, so imprecatory prayer is against those that hate the Lord. That's the difference between, it's the difference between God's enemies that hate him and our enemies. And we don't have to pray for our enemies to die and go to hell, okay? You just pray, you just do good to them, just like the Bible says. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You know, bless them that curse you. But now, there can be a transformation in this where they become your enemies because they're God's enemies. All right? So, you'll see as we read along here that there's people that David's saying they're my enemies, but why are they his enemies? Because they're God's enemies. That's a different kind of enemy. Does that make sense? So, imprecatory psalms. So we're going to look through some imprecatory psalms first. So contained within the book of Psalms are those that invoke judgment, calamity, or curses upon haters of God, or those perceived as the enemies of God. Major imprecatory psalms include Psalm 69 and Psalm 109, while Psalms 5, 6, 11, 12, 35, 37, 40, 52, 54, 56, 57, 58, 59, 79, 83, 94, 137, 139, and 143 are considered imprecatory psalms. That's a big number, isn't it? So don't tell me that we made this doctrine up. It's garbage. So, this doesn't even include all the imprecatory preaching in the Psalms. We're talking about just the prayer, the Psalms of prayer. And remember, Psalms are songs that were sung in Israel. One of these days, I think we'll probably sing all these together with the music it was meant to be written to, and we'll all sing them together someday. Turn to Psalm chapter 6. Actually, turn to Psalm chapter 69. I'm going to read for you Psalm chapter 6, verse 8. Psalm chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly." There's an imprecatory psalm. It's saying, "Let mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed." So he doesn't necessarily tell them to die. But it's talking about workers of iniquity. What are the workers of iniquity? They're the sons of Belial. They're the sons of the devil. They're evil people that can't be saved. Okay. So you're in Psalm 69. This is one of the major imprecatory psalms. It says, "Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them." This is praying for God's wrath, and there's no mercy here. "And let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten." Now, if you know who this is talking about, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, people will say, "Well, Jesus said, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But did the Father forgive the reprobates? No. Jesus is talking about, he's praying for people that can be saved, not the people that can't be saved. Because why would he pray for someone? Why would it say, "They persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity." See, isn't that the opposite of what Jesus was saying about people that could be saved? This is still talking about Jesus. The person that whom thou hast smitten is talking about God the Father smiting the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he, because he fulfilled the things he was supposed to do, and God turned his wrath upon the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary because he became sin for us. But look at what it's saying about the people that were reprobates, because there were people that were reprobates around him, weren't there? Some of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people, they followed him from place to place, didn't they? See, the people followed Jesus from place to place where he went to preach. They'd try to cut him off at the pass. But who also showed up at those places? The Pharisees, the stalkers. You know, so there's been stalking going around for a long time. And I'm going to define what stalking is towards the end of this sermon. But these people are stalkers. They'll stalk your life. They'll stalk a pastor's life. They'll stalk a church. They stalk the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you also. But look what it says, add iniquity in verse 27 to their iniquity and let them not come into thy righteousness. He's saying, don't let them be saved. Right? Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. What's that saying? Don't let them be saved, God. These people are wicked and vile. God's done with them. All right? Do you see the difference between your enemies and God's enemies? Because it's the Bible's making it very clear. Turn to Psalm chapter 37, verse number 12. Psalm chapter 37, verse number 12. The Bible says, the wicked plotteth against the just. I'll give you a second to turn there. The Bible says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall, what? Laugh at him. Did you grow up learning that in Sunday school, that God's going to laugh at people when they're dying? God's going to laugh at them when their calamity comes, as it says in the book of Proverbs. It says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon them with their teeth, and the Lord shall laugh at him for what he seeth that his day is coming. Your day is coming, you reprobates. Your day is coming, you haters of the Lord. And you know what? God's going to laugh at you. And so people, like, when they see that we laugh about some false prophet dying, and I do. I don't care. I'll say it. I don't care. I laugh about it. You know why? Because they can't hurt any more people. They can't molest any more people, Ravi Zacharias. They can't send any more people to hell. And you're like, well, God would never laugh. It says he laughs at them. There's more verses in the Bible to say that than just this one. So if God can laugh at him, why can't I? Aren't we supposed to be like Christ? Amen. Are we supposed to be like God? And look, I know that sounds morbid to you maybe, but look, that's what the Bible says, that God will laugh at them. Is that what it says? For he seeth that his day is coming. You know that Jack Hiles sermon where he says, Sunday's coming. And then he mentions all, you know, all these people are just having their way in the world. They're having their way. They're gnashing their teeth upon the righteous. They're trying to destroy pastors and their ministries. They're trying to destroy their children. They're trying to take down one church at a time. And they hate the Lord. And you know what? God says, I know your day's coming. And he laughs at them. The wicked have drawn out the sword. And they have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Who are they looking to slay? The people of God that are trying to live a godly life, to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows, shall be broken. And in the next verse that I don't have in there, in my notes, it says that their arms will be broken. God's not dealing with these people with kid gloves. In the end, they're going to get what they deserve. And sometimes they get what they deserve before the end. So you should have a prayer list. You should have a prayer list of people that are trying to attack your pastor. You should have a prayer list against people that are trying to attack you that hate the Lord. You know, maybe go talk to Pastor Mez and ask who's on his death prayer list.
Amen.
And find out. Maybe you can help him pray for those things.
Amen.
One down, four more to go. Turn to Psalm chapter 58, verse 6. Psalm chapter 58, verse 6. You're like, well, I'm leaving. I'm never coming back. Well, I'm sorry. I won't be here next week either, so. I'm leaving. I'm not coming back for a while either, so don't worry about it. Pastor Meadows will be back preaching after this. Psalm chapter 58, verse 6, the Bible says, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. This is, again, a psalm of David. He's saying, break their teeth. You know, we're not supposed to break their teeth. We are going to pray for God to break their teeth. You understand? Verse 7, let them melt away as waters, which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. I mean, have you ever poured salt on a snail before? They melt away. Like, you know, it's disgusting. I've never done it before, but I've seen it done. I love all animals, so anyway. I don't really love snails. I think they're disgusting. But I see why people do it, you know. But what's the language here? Melt them, Lord. Melt them. Let them, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before the pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice. And these are two hard verses right here. For any these verses do not get preached in Christian churches, most places. These are the psalms that get skipped over, guaranteed. Because you know what? I had a pastor not too long ago that was preaching through the psalms, and when you get to stuff like this, oh, you know, it's the end of the service. Sorry, we just didn't have time to get through it on Sunday school. Maybe next time. It's like when you get to stuff like this, I'm just waiting. Come on, get to it. What's he going to say? Skip. He skips the track. He never gets to it. But what's it say? The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. What does rejoice mean? You know, like, oh, what a feeling Toyota. You know that commercial from the old days, like Pastor Anderson was saying? Hey, you jump for joy and you rejoice. You're happy. Why? Because he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Amen. That's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, one day this is going to be fulfilled and everybody in this room that's saved is going to be washing their feet in the blood of the wicked. Now, I always say this, we can't get AIDS then because we'll have glorified bodies, so don't worry about it. So anyway, verse 11, so that a man shall say, verily, that means truly, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges in the earth. Aren't you glad you have a God that is going to take your back? And he's going to take vengeance upon the evils that have been done to you, the evils that have been done to your church. Look, it's getting worse out there. Can you feel it? Can you feel it getting worse? Can you see it getting worse? I mean, President Biden gets elected, and the first thing he does is put a drag queen as our safety administrator or whatever. The sum of health, right? Yeah, real healthy to be a transvestite. That's a really great lifestyle. I mean, death style. And then just starts letting men wrestle women in wrestling, and you know they're breaking all the records and all this stuff. Talk about hating women. They say we hate women. Well, how about you make some poor little girl have to wrestle some, you know, same person, the same age, same weight, but it's a dude. They're gonna wipe the floor with them. And that's what's happening. All their running records are getting broken. And people are trying to, like, protect their daughters. Hey, if my daughter was having to wrest some freak that was a dude, I would just forfeit. I don't understand why you let your daughter get beat up like that. Amen. There's an MMA fighter named Fallon Fox. And Fallon Fox is a man that just beats the crap out of girls for a living. He says he's a girl, but he's not a girl. Genetically a man. And he shouldn't be allowed to fight women. It's ridiculous. But that's the kind of world we're living in. We're living in a kind of world where someone's watching the YouTube so they can shut down the first church service of a brand new church. That's the world we live in. Where you have you guys went through the protests. I was there with you for some of it. For a very small inkling of it, you had to endure it for 3 months after that. It wasn't fun, was it? But those are the people that try to break and destroy the work of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 109. Another prayer of David. This is actually against Judas. This is like the fulfillment or the prophecy against Judas. When shall he be? Shall he be judged? Let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of the desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their names be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. That's pretty harsh stuff. But Judas was a wicked person. He's the son of perdition. He betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And it surely would have been better that he'd never been born. So I'm going to skip through the rest of it. I mean, this is pretty brutal stuff. And look, I'm not reading all the Psalms today. I'm not reading all the Psalms tonight. Turn to Psalm 139. Now, this is the one that I tried to get our church to sing, and they kind of half-heartedly sang it. And it made me feel bad. It's like, we need to sing this song again. This is straight out of the songbook of God. This is inspired song. Psalm 139, verse 20 says, "For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies," this is David talking about God's enemies, "thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." So, you see, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. We're supposed to do good to those people that hate us and all those things that Jesus said. But once they become haters of God, that changes that enemy. They become your enemies that you hate also because they hate the Lord. Does that make sense? Amen. So I hate them with perfect hatred. That means complete hatred. You don't have any mercy for them. David did not have, did he have mercy in Psalm 109 when he's talking about Judas? Which is actually a full, you know, those things are quoted in the New Testament. They may not be your personal enemies, but I count them as mine enemy because they hate God. Does that make sense? That's how we're supposed to be about these enemies that hate God. That's what the Bible says. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 now. I'm done reading you can like take a sigh of relief. I'm going to move on to the Old Testament here. And you know, people don't disagree that there's some fiery preaching of imprecatory manner in the Old Testament. So I'm just going to read a couple things here. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. See, the Old Testament books are filled with imprecatory preaching and prayers. So Deuteronomy 28 has a multitude of verses talking about the curses that he's going to curse Israel with if they don't keep his commandments, including eating cannibalism and just all manner of, I mean, the curses are intense, but I'm just going to read you one verse. It says, "The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand to do unto," excuse me, "thine hand unto for to do, until thou be," what? "Destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me." So there's some hard preaching by Moses to the children of Israel. But I mean, if you read that whole chapter, you know, it's talking about the blessings, and then all of a sudden it's like the cursings go to like verse 68. People think that they understand who God is. But the thing is, God has a fiery side to him. He has a vengeful side to him. He's not the hearts and flowers that everybody thinks he is all the time. But he does love people. He loves people. He loved us. He saved us. He wants people to be saved. But there are people that are so wicked that they've gone too far with God. And they need to be prayed against. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 19. Now, Jeremiah, if you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all in a row, you might be in a little bit of a Christian depression afterwards. There's a lot, I mean, it's a lot of negative preaching, just like I'm preaching tonight. But there's a lot of negative stuff. It's like nobody would listen to these preachers. And like basically everybody hated Jeremiah. He only had like one friend, Baruch. Or maybe he had two, I don't know. But most people did not listen to his preaching. But here's Jeremiah You know, at one point, God tells Jeremiah to stop praying for them because they're so wicked. Now, here's Jeremiah praying to God in verse 19. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. See, remember the time when I used to, you know, say, hey, we should do some good for them, God. But then God said, no, don't do good for them. Don't pray for their good. And it says, therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. And let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight. But let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. So here Jeremiah has changed his mind about praying for the children of Israel. He's like, you know what? Never mind what I said, God. I'm not praying for their good anymore. Let's pray for their bad. Why? Because it was too late for them. You know, and look, did Jeremiah love people? Absolutely. He spent his whole ministry preaching to people that would never listen to him. And, you know, that they did try to kill him. They tried to kill him multiple times. And what was his crime? Preaching the Bible, preaching what God told him to preach. What's the crime that Pastor Jimenez committed when he preached against the Sodomites in 2016? The truth, what the Bible says, nothing wrong with that. We just simply, we got protested by some Sodomites not too long ago, and it was bookend to bookend, Sunday to Sunday, between our missions trip that we went on. So we had the Sodomites protesting on Sunday, and then when we got back from the trip, they were protesting us again on Sunday. But what was our crime? What did we do that was so wrong? We put an invitation on one of their doors. Seriously. And then they just unleashed their fury on us and tried to say that we're racist and all this other stuff. You know, apparently, if you don't like homos, then you're racist. See, they've achieved their goal of finally putting themselves in as a racist thing. They're not a race. They're perverts. So they are not, you know, they have like the Black History Month going on right now. And you see like this fist. I saw this like poster with a fist and it has like the rainbow flag, like bracelet around it, the black fist arm or whatever. The BLM is nothing but the Black Lives Matter is not really about Black Lives Mattering. It was made by Sodomites. If you look at their website, they hate the nuclear family. They want to destroy Christianity. They hate our guts. And I don't think all black people agree with that. So, amen. See, I got a black guy. Amen to me. Amen. So, I mean, these people are freaks. They're out to destroy. I mean, look, I mean, Black Lives Matter took over every business. Didn't every business around here, because up in Portland where I'm from, every window, if you didn't have it in, they'll smash your window out. That's the bullying and thuggery that's going on with this movement. It's wicked. So where are you at here? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. So this should leave you with no questions about where God stands on this doctrine of preaching and precatory things. Precatory preaching and sermon and prayers. Excuse me. It says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. This is talking about Jehoshaphat the king, because he had made an affinity with Ahab, and said to the king, to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Who do you think sent this seer to Jehoshaphat? Do you think he sent himself? Was he sent from Joel Osteen Ministries? No, he was sent by God. He's a prophet. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Are we supposed to love them that hate the Lord? What's it say? Therefore, wrath is upon thee from the Lord. Look, If you're on the side of the bad guys, the ones that hate God, then look, wrath is upon you also.
Amen.
So don't get this tender heart for these freaks and for these reprobates that hate God. It's not just sodomites. There's other people that hate God that aren't necessarily sodomites. But don't get a soft spot for them, because God's not talking about praying for them for their good. He's talking about praying them for their bad. He's saying, don't help them. They're wicked. And look, that's just, okay, I'm done with the Old Testament. Are you guys taking a breath? But look, there's hard preaching in Isaiah, Ezekiel, all throughout the Old Testament. This type of preaching is found throughout it. But don't lose track of the sight. I mean, don't let me make you lose track of the sight that God is a loving God. He does love us. He loves sinners. But again, we're not talking about run-of-the-mill sinners. We're talking about these people that God hates. Okay, and those that hate, they hate God first. See, they hate God first. Pharaoh hardened his heart first, then God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Amen.
Pharaoh had all the opportunity that anybody else to be saved in the world. But what did he do? Hardened his heart. Said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Well, he showed him 10 plagues later who the Lord was.
Amen.
And what happened to him? Died. Drowned. So let's look at some New Testament imprecatory scriptures, right? Some New Testament stuff. Okay, so the New Testament contains passages that quote imprecatory psalms and has imprecatory preaching in it as well. So here's where people are like, well, you know, the New Testament, you know, it says we're supposed to love everybody. No, that's not what it says. The New Testament is basically an addition to the Old Testament. The Old Testament's like four times the size of the New Testament, at least. But it's added on, it's the New Covenant. But it doesn't mean that you throw out all the imprecatory preaching in Psalms. It's all for us. It's written for our admonition. So, turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. I'll read from you John chapter 2, verse 17, which quotes Psalm chapter 69. It says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So that's a direct quote from Psalm chapter 69, which I read some of to you, which is an imprecatory psalm and has imprecatory preaching. John chapter 8, verse 44. Here's some hard preaching to say to your stalkers that follow you around. And they get really mad when you call them unsaved. They get really mad when you call them reprobates. But here's what it says. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is the father of lies. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and he abode not in the truth. That's the same thing that his children are like too. See, he's calling them children of the devil. You know why? Because they are. And Jesus is right about everything, isn't he? So it's not wrong to call these children of the devil unsaved, unable to be saved. These are the type of people that I'm talking about that are different. They're a special kind of stupid. They're a special kind of wicked, right?
Amen.
Turn to John chapter 12, verse 37. John chapter 12, verse 37. It says, I'm going to just start reading while you get there. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. You see that? There's people that can't believe. Do you believe it? Because it's right there. Believe it or not, there's people that can't believe. That's what the Bible says. Because that Isaiah said, he hath blinded their eyes and hath hardened their heart, and that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted that I should heal them. What's God saying? I'm done with them. I blinded their eyes. I'm done with them. I hardened their heart. I blinded them so they can't see what? The way of salvation. Not just physical sight. We're talking about spiritual sight. They couldn't believe anymore. No matter what anybody said to them, no matter how bad you came and prayed for them, God's never going to listen to your prayer about that. because they can't believe. I mean, is that what it says or not? Therefore, they couldn't believe. And these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Here's the hardest sermon probably in the whole Bible, where he just rips the Pharisees. And look, why were the Pharisees unable to believe? Well, they called Jesus Beelzebub. They called him the devil. They said he cast out devils by the prince of devils. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And once you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, God is done with you. Once you change or alter Scripture, God is done with you. Once you take the mark of the beast, God is done with you. John MacArthur, he's done with John MacArthur too. The wicked devil. So, anyway, I'm going to read a verse before I move on. And so in John 15, verse 25, I didn't have you turn there. I had you turn to Matthew 23. But it says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in the law, they hated me without a cause." There's another quote from Psalm chapter 69. See, Jesus backed up the Psalms. He backed up the imprecatory Psalms, didn't he? He backed up the Old Testament. In John, it's saying that Isaiah is the one that prophesied those things that take place in John chapter 12. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them which are going, entering to go in." And what does woe mean? It means bad things are coming your way. It's cursing someone. It's saying that they're done, basically. When Jesus pronounces a woe on you, you're in trouble. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." What's he doing? He's already saying they're going to hell. Look, I know this is hard for some people. It's not hard for me. It took me a while to get it too. But look, this is the truth. Love your church Sunday. Amen. All right. "So therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation." So there are people that receive a greater damnation than others. See, but you get told we've been told the lie, all sin is equal. Is it? It doesn't seem that way to me. Seems that there can be a greater damnation. There could be worse people. I think Billy Graham is in the lower parts of hell. I think Ravi Zacharias is there with them. And you know what? They're not hanging out. They're not talking theology. They're roasting in flames. They're screaming for a drop of water. And they had their time. They had their time where they drew away these people from the true ways of the Lord. And God hates that. Amen. They preach a false gospel. They send people to hell. Billy Graham never sent anybody to heaven. Right. Preach the false gospel. Skip down to verse 33. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in their synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." This is Jesus just rebuking them. And he says, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." That's imprecatory preaching. That's him saying, look, you're going to hell. That's all there is to it. And then he just rips their faces off for the whole chapter. And what? So he could tell them that their generation is going to receive the recompense for everything that they've done, for all the prophets they've slain and killed. Matthew chapter 26, verse 23. Matthew chapter 26, verse 23. Says, "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." This is at the Lord's Supper, or the institution of the Lord's Supper. And he says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better, it had been good for him, for that man, if he had never been born." That's a pretty harsh thing to say about someone when he's sitting right there next to you. Jesus was bold. Amen. Jesus was bold. You know what? His preachers should be bold too. And they should just say things how they are. They should preach the Bible how it is. Why do we preach stuff like, why am I preaching something like this? Because nobody else is. because the world has gone by the wayside. These preachers that are preaching now, they just preach what they want to preach. They have the big buildings with the, that's what they care about. They care about things that don't matter. They stopped soul winning a long time ago in America, and there's still some people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, but you know, it's very few and far in between. In England, they were desperate for a church there, desperate. And now they got one. But right away, what happens? Darts are being thrown at them. First service interrupted. It's pretty tough for a new preacher to have to deal with the Gestapo mask police coming in and breaking up your service, right? Acts chapter 1. Verse number 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of the names were about 120. So Peter stands up to preach to these people. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. See, there it is right there, black and white. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake these things concerning Judas. This is God preaching to people. And so if that hurts your delicate sensibilities, then you take that up with God, because he's the one that wrote it. Which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of his ministry. Now the man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. It's pretty gross, right? But that's what he deserved. That's, you know, God's righteous. God never sins. So everything he does is good. It might sound gross. It is kind of gross, you know, when someone's bowels are gushing out, but that's what he deserved. So look at verse 20. It says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Direct quote from what? Psalm chapter 109. So they're, you know, in the book of Acts, they're quoting it. And like I said earlier in the sermon, they got followed around. They got stalked. They got told to stop preaching. They got thrown in prison. They got, you know, just, you know, Paul had to have a garrison of Roman soldiers take him away because the Jews were trying to kill him. These people want to shut down God's work. Paul quoted imprecatory Psalms in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord, this is just him preaching this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. That means accursed. That means you're cursed. So don't tell me, well, you're like one of these dispensationalists who's like, no, you don't listen to Jesus, you don't listen to the Old Testament, you need to listen to Paul. Paul says the same thing. So Paul says there's people that need to be accursed. And actually, there's quite a few verses to talk about it. But Romans chapter 11 says, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Direct quote from Psalm chapter 58. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, for this cause. Sorry, I know I'm going to a lot of verses. There's a lot, there's a way more than what I'm going to. We could be here for hours. Take a breath. All right. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusions. Talking about when the Antichrist is revealed, that they should believe a lie. These are people that are sinners, right? That they all might be what? Damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the Apostle Paul writing that also. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So if God's going to reward Alexander the coppersmith according to his works, what does that mean? That he's going to go to hell. That he's going to get judged based upon what he did against God and his kingdom. And so it also says, of whom be thou ware also. See, it's not just that he's going against the Apostle Paul. He's telling other people to beware of him because he's what? He hath greatly withstood our words. You know, there's people out there that greatly withstand our words and they try to twist what we say. They try to twist doctrines like this and say that they're not true. I mean, if you walk away from this sermon saying, Pastor Thompson's wrong about this, I just think that we should just love everybody, then you just don't believe the Bible. Simple as that.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's the Apostle Paul saying, if any gospel perverts, hey, let them go to hell. Let them be accursed. And he says it twice, so it's worth mentioning again, apparently. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Turn to Revelation 6, verse 9. Galatians 5, 12 says, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. And so what does that mean? That they were dead that trouble you. Because there's people that trouble Christians. There's so much stuff on the internet that you could watch that you shouldn't watch. Turn your face away from that stuff. Don't try to learn more about them like that. Hey, don't let people, you know, there's a Baptist preacher just the other day. I was reading a news article where it says Baptist, independent Baptist preacher converts to Mormonism. Okay, that guy was never saved. You don't just convert to Mormonism after being an independent Baptist pastor. That's just, I've never heard of anything like that ever happening. But that's crazy. I had a Mormon missionary actually brag to me one time and said, we get more Baptist converts than any other religion.
Wow.
I thought, really? That's really true? How could that be possible? Because maybe Baptists quit preaching right a long time ago. Maybe that's why. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? What are these? See, even in heaven, even people that have been, their heads been chopped off by the Antichrist, they're in heaven, and they're like, how long, Lord? How long till you judge these people from the blood that they've shed? They killed us, Lord. Are you going to avenge us? Even in heaven, they're asking for the vengeance to come upon them. Don't tell me this isn't a real, this isn't a right doctrine. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. And, you know, God is going to avenge them. God is going to avenge everybody that's been slighted by these type of people. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It's a very famous passage of Scripture. It says in verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of them, of their own selves. Kind of like generation selfie, right? I mean, they love their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There are people that just despise you just because you're good. These people are the types of people I'm talking about in this sermon. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They pretend that they're saved. They pretend that they're holy. They pretend that they're good, but denying the power thereof. What's the Bible say? From such, turn away. Don't watch their videos. Don't follow them. These are of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are the types of people that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Pastor Jimenez has to deal with all the time. I have to deal with all the time. These people are just constantly stalking us on the internet, constantly emailing us all this weird stuff, constantly trying to destroy our finances, talking crap about our children all the time, bringing our family into things. They don't care. But you know what? We can't fight the way they fight. And I don't even want to. It's so weird to me that someone will leave our church or a church like ours, and then they just spend the rest of their life and the rest of their days just over and over again, just attack, 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 make these fake accounts online and attack us and say all manner of evil against us. You know what? If you leave a church, in my times I've left churches before, I just leave quietly. And you know what I don't do? I don't stalk the pastor and tell everybody how wrong he is and lie about him all the time. This is the type of people that we're dealing with. So you know what? You should pray for your pastor. You should pray for me. You should pray for your church, and because these people exist, unfortunately, and they're sick in the mind. What's the Bible say about them? They're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, and it points out these false prophets that Moses had to deal with in Egypt. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So what did they try to do? They tried to say, hey, Moses is wrong. They stood against the man of God, didn't they? So do these also resist the truth. Who? The type of people that I'm talking about to you tonight. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, there's something wrong with them. Reprobate concerning the faith. They can't understand. They can't see. They've been blinded. But all they know, what they see is tunnel vision to try to destroy this church, to destroy your pastor. That's all they want to do. And it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. Just like Jannes and Jambres, their folly was manifest unto all people, all men. So is the people that try to attack us. And sometimes, it's just one of those things. We just got to get used to it. It's hard to get used to, though. Just constantly. I mean, I get emails every single day. And I get people posting weird stuff on my YouTube page all the time. There's people that made a video about all of us pastors, all my friends, Pastor Jimenez, where they dress us up in drag, put makeup on our faces. They took a lot of time to make this video and show us dancing around to like worldly music and Lady Gaga. How weird is that? Is that going to get my attention and make me think that they're cool or something, or make them think that maybe I'm wrong about something? No, it just makes me think that they're strange and weird. And it makes me want to pray against them for the wickedness that they are doing. Just like they withstood Moses, they're trying to withstand Pastor Jimenez. They're trying to withstand me. And I'm not trying to compare us to Moses. I'm just saying men of God that preach the truth, that go soul winning, that send people out soul winning, and try to preach the whole counsel of God. This is what we're up against. These freaks and these weirdos. So who should we pray in precatory prayers against? The workers of iniquity, the haters of God, that's who we should pray them against. Who do we preach this kind of stuff to? The haters of God. And obviously, for your knowledge, we have to preach this stuff. Because there's people who are going to clip at your heels. They're going to be like, your pastors are hateful. Your pastor's hateful. I think he's pretty loving. Amen. I think he's pretty nice. This church does everything, everything that you do is done for free. And I see a pastor that's loving. I see a pastor that's a nice guy.
Amen.
And they're painting us as in a picture like we're these, just these sick. Look, we're the only thing standing against these things.
Right.
Everybody else has folded their tents and went home. Come on in. Why do they fight against us like this? Because that's what the workers of iniquity do. That's what the children of hell do. So what if you're not sure about somebody? Like I said, if they can be saved, save them, Lord. If not, destroy them. Kill them. That could be your prayers. God knows your heart. He knows you're not trying to pray death upon someone that doesn't deserve it. He knows who can be saved and who can't be. Sometimes it's hard to decide. But we have these internet trolls that are against us all the time. And like we live in a different day and age. In Jesus' time, they just followed him around physically. In Paul's time and in the apostles' time, they just followed him around physically and waited for him. Ha ha, we're here again. But here, we preach a lot. We preach on YouTube and obviously preach in front of a congregation, but times are just a little bit different. We do things a little bit different. But guess what? We still have people following us all over the place. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. They creep into churches like these and try to infiltrate. But these guys are doing so much evil against us. They lie and twist the truth, making wicked videos, attacking our families, calling our ordinations into question. Well, let me just tell you something real quick. We're not Baptist briders. Everybody know that? We're not Baptist briders, but we're also not pastor briders. Well, what's a pastor brider? These people think that like there has to be some unbroken succession of pastors that have ordained you. If Pastor Jimenez goes bad tomorrow, does that make my ordination invalid? No. And if I go bad tomorrow, does that make Pastor Jimenez's ordination invalid? I'm just saying going bad as in, you know, I blow up my marriage or whatever. Something that makes me disqualified from the ministry. Something that makes him, if that, look, once Pastor Jimenez laid his hands on me and we sent me to start that church in Vancouver, we're independent. Guess what? I don't have to call Pastor Jimenez and ask him what I'm going to preach next week. We're supposed to prove our own ministries. Pastor Jimenez proves his ministry. I prove my ministry. Other pastors prove their ministry. We're independent. They don't seem to understand this. We're also independent pastors, churches and pastors. So what one pastor does doesn't affect what I do because I'm independent. Does that make sense? So these people even just try to call our ordination into question. It's so weird. And they don't even believe that anyway. That's the funny thing, is like all the things that they accuse us of, they like take our beliefs and try to push them back on us and like they actually believe them, they really don't. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then that's okay. But these people, you know, are just, they're stalkers. Now let me just tell you what a stalker is real quick. A stalker is a person who harasses or persecutes someone with unwanted and obsessive attention. It doesn't always have to be some woman that's being stalked. It could be anybody. Let me read that again. A person who harasses or persecutes someone with unwanted and obsessive attention. Cyberstalking. This is the new stalking, right? Cyberstalking is the use of the internet or other electronic means to stalk or harass an individual group or organization. Is this an organization? Yeah, it's a church organization. It's an individual group of people. It may include false accusations, defamation, slander, and libel. It may also include monitoring, identity theft, threats, vandalism, solicitation for sex, or gathering information that may be used to threaten or embarrass or harass. And so these people that do all this stuff, you know what? It's against the law. I realize the police aren't going to stop them. The FBI is not going to stop them. You know, this is just something that Christians have to deal with. How do we deal with it, though? We pray against them. We pray for God to destroy them. Cyberstalking is often accompanied by real-time or offline stalking. In many jurisdictions such as California, both are criminal offenses. Both are motivated by a desire to control, intimidate, or influence a victim. A stalker may be an online stranger or a person whom the target knows. They may be an anonymous and solicit involvement with other people online that don't even know the target. Cyberstalking is a criminal offense under various state anti-stalking, slander, and harassment laws. A conviction can result in a restraining order, probation, or criminal penalties against the assailant, including jail. This is what they deserve. They deserve to be punished by the law, but the law doesn't do anything about it. So what do we have to do? We have to do something about it. So one of these cyber stalkers just died. His name is Todd Ferguson. You know, he's the guy that talked all funny. He was like, Pastor Anderson, whatever. He was just like, Todd, raising files. And he was just making all these crazy videos, just making up all these lies about pastor friends of mine, including myself, including your pastor, including, you know, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Anderson. And look, the guy was just relentless. The day he went missing or whatever, he had posted a sermon against Pastor Jimenez. You know, Pastor Jimenez doesn't even go online. You know, he just minds his own business, tries to run his church. So these guys are just lying and doing all this stuff. And you know what? Guess what? If you go against God's man, if you go against the church, hey, something might happen to you. You might just get kidnapped and beat up or whatever happened to him. They found him in an alley, you know, with his head caved in or something. You know, and people are like, oh, poor Todd, you guys are heartless. That guy didn't care a lick about what he said about us. He just lied. I mean, or twisted truth. These are the types of people that we have to deal with. And you know what? I'm glad he's dead. And I, you know what? I did laugh. I laughed when I found out he was dead. They're like, well, Pastor Thompson, you might be a main suspect. Check my records. I had an alibi for that day. And you know what? I don't have anything in my bank account showing that I paid any hitman, okay? So I'm completely innocent. But you know what? You know what I can say? That I did pray for him to die. And guess what? He's on your preacher's death list. And guess what? So that means there was five. Now there's four. You know, the people that are just harassing us like this and keep on going like this, hey, don't be surprised if you just drop dead of some weird manner. You know, and so this is a warning to the people of that hate God and want to destroy us. You know what? We're praying for you. We're praying for you. So, and I just think it's funny the way he died, because it wasn't a normal death. He's like, I'm going to go out and get some shoes. I mean, cocaine. You know, all the stuff he talks about us, but he's the one that was really just going and doing wicked things. He died an early death. You know, and he says, who says, hey, I'm going to go out and get some shoes? I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to say. I mean, if you really go into this, like if you're a lady, you know, I could see where that would be possible. But look, the guy hated our guts, and he's got his buddy, what's his name? Tuttle. Robert Tuttle. And he's carrying the torch, and he's the one that actually started all this stuff against us. But you know what? It's funny because he wants to talk about how our kids are reprobates and we're reprobates and you're all reprobates and all this stuff. It's like, dude, you don't even believe in that because your grandson's a fag. Guess what? There's this thing called Facebook, and I found out that his grandson's a fag, and he's also a Jew. So he's a Christ rejecter, and he's a fag. And then you're going to go and say, your people are reprobates, and you got, what are you talking about? Do you believe the doctrines that you even are saying that you believe against us? It doesn't make any sense. And the reason why I want to make that public is because he refuses to let me comment on this page and say to everybody. So look, Robert Tuttle's grandson's a fag. He's a Christ-rejecting Jew. And you can't delete this off YouTube. So maybe you can. I don't know. But I can't delete the comment. So anyway, I know I'm way over time here, but I just want to say this before I end, that God is the one that's going to defend us. When we pray to him, he's going to answer our prayers. And you know what? God shows us a pattern in here. We pray to him, he takes care of business. He's the one that's sticking up for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God's going to repay. So we don't have to worry about it. It's all taken care of. And even if you don't pray, you know what? God's still going to take care of them. So he's not going to let them get away with it. But there's nothing wrong in the world with you trying to pray, to go to the right person. You know, we always have to do the right thing. So let's go to the right person. Let's go to God. I'm not ever saying take the matters into your own hands and do things in your own, you know, we're not supposed to fight physically. And I never have, and I never will. But you know how I'm going to fight a spiritual battle? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what? He's going to take care of business. Amen. Amen. And these people that are haters of us, these people that are lying and slandering us all the time, you know what? One down, four to go. And there's actually more. I'm going to add to the death list. After the service, I want to talk to Pastor and let him know there's some other people that I'm praying for. So anyway, that's all I got for tonight. You know, we got to understand there's imprecatory psalms, Old Testament, imprecatory preaching and prayers, and in the New Testament, it quotes it and preaches it. And you know what? God's going to protect us and fight for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We pray, Lord, that you bless each and every person that came out. I know it was a long sermon, Lord, but it just made them even more hungrier. And I pray, Lord, that you would just protect your people. Protect the pastor of this church, Pastor Roger Jimenez, and his family from all the wicked that people throw at him. And I pray you watch over our church in Vancouver, And Lord, just all of our friends that are pastors, Lord, we have to deal with this stuff all the time. I pray you just help us. Help our people to help us. Help our people to pray for us and put the remembrance in our heart that we go through a lot, and sometimes people don't see everything that goes on. But that they would just continue to pray for their pastors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.